When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
Let's go to a letter. This starts out, it says, it's hard to describe the feeling that settles over a home after a death. You think the silence will be the worst part, the empty chair, the phone that no longer rings. But what lingers is stranger than silence. It's as if the walls remember, and sometimes it feels like the person you lost never really left. That was what our family came to believe after my brother died. For the first few weeks, we chalked it up to odd moments, to grief, sleepless nights, a door left ajar, maybe the furnace settling. But a month after his funeral, the house began to act like it had a mind of its own. Not just once or twice, almost every night, three or four solid months, something was with us. My eldest daughter felt... at first, she worked the late shift, usually rolling in between 12:30 and 1 in the morning. She had a ritual: shower, TV on low, a blanket on the couch until sleep crept in. One night she shook me awake, pale and shaking. "Mom," she whispered, "tell Uncle we love him, but he needs to stop scaring us." At first I thought she was having a bad dream, but she swore. She was wide awake when the frame photos on the mantle began to tremble. Not just a vibration, she saw them move like an unseen hand nudged them forward. Terrified, she blurted out, "Uncle, stop it now!" Just like that, it stopped. She told me there were other nights when she'd hear footsteps pacing the hallway, measured, deliberate, almost heavy. She tried to ignore it, thinking maybe it was the house cooling down, until it got too loud to pretend. Once after she woke me again, we both sat up in the living room. The air tight and still, I said out loud, "We love you, but please don't frighten us. If you need help, let us know some other way." That night, a sharp, hollow bang struck the back of the TV. I flinched, so did she. Whatever it was... wanted to be heard. It wasn't just the mantle. For weeks, the doorbell rang in the middle of the night. Every time we checked, there was no one there. I told my husband it had to be the local kids playing games, but he just shook his head. "They can't run that fast," he said. The strangest reaction came from the youngest member of our family, my granddaughter. She was only 20 months old when my brother passed. One afternoon, out of nowhere, she ran to the front door and tugged at the knob with all her tiny strength. "Sweetie, what are you doing?" I asked. "Uncle wants to come in," she said matter-of-factly. She wouldn't stop until we opened that door for her. She peered outside as if expecting someone to walk in. My daughter later told me that sometimes driving with the baby in the back seat, she'd hear her quietly playing and speaking as though to someone else. Once they both heard her say in a small but clear voice, "No, Uncle, I don't want to play anymore." I told myself it was just a child's imagination. But then something happened I couldn't explain away. Months after the funeral, I returned to work in the health field. One weekend, I gathered my uniforms for the wash, scrubs, same rotation I always wore. On one shirt, pinned away, neatly above the chest pocket. was a hospital name tag with my brother's old room number printed on it. That shirt had been worn and washed dozens of times since his passing. We don't even keep tags like that. There was no earthly reason it should be there. I called my family in to look, and we all just stood there staring at it, no one able to find the words. Activity slowed down over time, but the house never fully settled. Little things happened every so often. A few weeks ago, I reached for the front door to head out and felt resistance, like someone was on the other side pulling it shut. I tried again, same thing. The knob tugged back as if in a silent tug of war. There's a framed photo of my brother in the dining room taken when he was 12, dressed in white for his first communion. My grandson knocked it off the shelf one day, cracking the frame. I set the photo aside, meaning to replace the glass. A week later, I picked it up as to look at it. A soft woman's voice whispered right behind me, "I'm sorry." I froze, the picture clutched in my hands. The voice wasn't my mother's, and she'd passed away years earlier. March 2nd of 2008, just months after my brother's death on July 2nd. I'd expected her presence after she died, but nothing happened back then. His voice was unfamiliar, apologetic, and impossibly close. Not long after, I was sipping coffee in the kitchen, staring absently out the window at the front porch, and I swear I saw a woman step out of my closed front door. She wasn't a blur. She wasn't mist. She was solid. Light brown curled hair brushing her shoulders, a purse strap across her chest, a soft sweater, and casual slacks, like she just finished grocery shopping. I ran to the door and yanked it open. The porch was empty, the street silent. 2 days later, it happened again, only this time she appeared to be walking into the house. I watched her reach for the knob that never turned. She looked young, too young to be my mother. I barely saw her face, just the side of her hair and the smooth line of her jaw before she vanished like a skipped frame in a film reel. My daughter thinks it may have been my mom. I'm not convinced. My mother's hair was never curled like that. Around the same time, I got word that a dear old friend had passed away in October. We hadn't spoken in years. By the time her daughter found our number, the service was already over. She'd been 60. Sweet voice, kind. I wondered if the woman I'd seen was her, reaching out in the only way she could. I've always believed that when a loved one lingers, their presence can open a door to others. That idea began to feel uncomfortably real. Some nights as I drifted towards sleep, the mattress would shift as though someone pushed up from underneath. My husband felt it too, though he'd never admit it right away. Then there was the morning that still makes my stomach knot. I'd risen early, gone straight to the bathroom for a bath, nothing unusual. Afterward, as I dried off, I caught sight of myself in the mirror and froze. My stomach was crisscrossed with fresh, angry scratches, thin and red lines like a cat's crawls, where the edge of a razor had grazed me over and over. I called my husband in. "My God," he said, "it looks like somebody cut you all up." I had dreamed 2 nights earlier of something scratching my granddaughter's stomach while I screamed at it to stop. My nails are short. There's nothing in our bed that could have done it. My husband was untouched. The sight of those scratches in the mirror, their raw randomness, felt like the dream had followed me back. Later that year, in fact, on Halloween, another dream came. I was sitting on a couch in a room with blinding white walls. Beside me was a man I didn't know. Across from us were my mother and brother, both exactly as I remembered them. My mother leaned forward, lips moving, trying to tell me something I couldn't make out. Then she shouted my full name, sharp enough to jolt me. "Pay attention," she said, and told me that where they were, everyone stayed young. She pressed a phone into my hand, and on the screen, the number 3 appeared again and again, then shifted to 4. She snatched it back, then returned it to me, the numbers repeating like a code. My birthday is March 4th, 3-4. My youngest phone number starts with those digits, too. I woke before I could ask her what it meant. The next Wednesday, I went to watch my youngest boy's wrestling match at school, and during one round, the referee blew the whistle. The boys dropped to the mat, flat on their stomachs, heads turned sideways, just as I'd seen my mom and brother lying in that dream. I was sitting there in the bleachers, heart pounding, thinking my mother had been trying to show me this very scene. The dreams didn't end there. Shortly after my brother's funeral, I dreamt of him again, standing with me outside the front door of a fog-thick night. He looked strong, healthy, even peaceful. I asked if he'd seen God yet, and he smiled softly. "Not yet," he said, "but I will." "Where are you now?" I asked. "In a waiting place," he answered. "We all go there." That was all he said before the dream dissolved. I woke with the echo of his voice in my ears. These stories aren't easy to share. Each one carries the weight of grief, fear, and a strange sort of hope. It may be love really does linger beyond the boundary we call death. I can't explain the footsteps, the tug at the door, the voice that whispered, "I'm sorry," or the scratches that marked my skin like a warning. All I know is that sometimes the dead don't stay gone, and the living are left to wonder why they come back. There you go.
A little creepy on that one.
A little bit.
A little creepy. It's weird, though, because it feels like it's three different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see the uncle interacting with the kids. I could see the uncle trying to get their attention. I could see the woman who passed away saying, "I'm sorry." I can't see either one of them scratching her up in the middle of the night. That just feels like something totally different.
It almost seems like she's got abilities and she's got a lot of different things coming at her between family members. And as you said, Carol, something that apparently doesn't love her that much.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm interviewing this guy tomorrow for the Grave Talks, and I don't know what happened with Uncle. I don't know what his life was like before he passed away. But the guy was talking about people who pass away from addiction. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's not like the addiction just goes away when you die. Like he said, there are stories of people sharing that their loved one is trying to get back because mm-hmm. the addiction is drawing them back here. And so I wonder if there is some truth to that. You know, you're kind of in that in-between place, but you want to go back because that's where your addiction is. I don't know that the uncle was addicted. I had just mm-hmm. never thought about that before, that it just doesn't go away because it's so strong. It's you're trying to get back to it.
That'd be horrible. It's another take on it.
Time. But I'm going to talk to him about that tomorrow and see kind of where that came from, because I'd never even thought about that. But that could explain someone like the uncle who's doing things that is scaring them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's like a little out of control, but not the scratching. I just can't see the uncle ever doing the scratching.
No, but maybe he's a little bit more like Tony. Remember, Tony has said he would come back and mess with people. Remember?
I don't think I would scratch people, though.
No, but you'd scare the hell out of them.
Yeah, I'd go for like more mental trauma than physical.
Like toys that don't have batteries in them that start.
Yeah, you know, inverted crucifixes, you know, all sorts of things like that. Nativity scenes where the eyes glow red on the figurines.
Just little things.
Little things. Little things that, you know, make you feel warm and fuzzy.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story. and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live, and hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.